Make May your month for big cash winnings at your favorite Washington Gold Casino. Just stop by the Crazy Moose Casino in Mound Lake Terrace and see how their guests are winning thousands in cash prizes. So why not make today your day to strike it rich? Washington Gold Casinos. So close, it feels like home.
Get in the freaking auto!
This is Brock and Salk.
You want to go to the Seahawks game? All right, give me one more screen.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
I would put very little stock in what Brock Hewitt has to say.
Streaming nationwide on the 710 Sports app.
Salk, the third time in 2 days, is flat out wrong.
And 710sports.com.
Hey, good morning, everybody. It is Brock and Salk. Hope you guys are having a good morning. Hope you're ready for what we got in store for you guys today. I hope you are. I don't know whether I am. I hope other people are ready, because I don't know if I'm ready.
What's that, this Danny sound you like so much?
I do like the sound from
I think, Pete and John sound.
I think Danny O'Neill yesterday on his show summed up where the Seahawks are at about as well as anybody has. It's like it crystallized a lot of things for me.
Oh, nice.
When I was listening to them, that's exactly how I feel. Yes, I wish I had realized I felt that way until this moment and were as smart as Danny so that I could put it into such a simple to follow, easy sentence or two.
Sometimes I just imagine you like an electron. You're just like spinning around like the nucleus of stuff, because you're just constantly thinking about it. Boom! Oh, that's it. And it just stops you right there. Oh, okay.
That's how I feel.
Yeah, now
Danny's
I know.
Good. Danny's great at that. He synthesized everything.
I'll awesome.
Play that. You want me to play that for you? I can play it right off the bat.
Oh, sure. You go for it.
I can't.
Well, you just worry.
I can't, though.
But what are you worried about?
I can't do any of this until we further discuss what's going to happen here in a half hour.
What's going to happen?
Jim Mora is coming on our show. Not Jim Mora Sr. Not playoffs guy Jim Mora. Not that guy. No, this Jim Mora. The guy who, for whatever reason, has a really weird, sort of sordid, crazy history. Oh, with our show? No, with really everybody, but
I might show up at the Rock Bottom tonight just to boo Salk.
Right.
Just because he booed me.
That's Jim Mora. That's the guy who's going to be on our show. He has not been on our show, Brock.
No.
Since he was fired as
since
the head coach of the Seahawks.
Since I think that.
Oh, no. I think it's been long. I mean, so he was fired as head coach of the Seahawks after the 2009 season.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was like a year after that or so, because that was when the Bruins went to the Stanley Cup, and I was going down to Rock Bottom to watch with Groz, and he said he would come down just to boo me for no reason.
Should have.
In all fairness to my comment.
Right. In all fairness to his comment, he needed to boo me?
Sure.
Something.
And then you know what? He and I got into it a little bit, he got into it with
did
me.
Did you?
I've known Brock a long time.
Did you have any reaction to that?
To what Brock Hewitt says?
Yeah.
I would put very little stock in what Brock Hewitt has to say about anything that has to do with football.
It sounds
that'll be controversial. But it's the truth. I've known that kid since he was in college.
So
I know
who
he is. No, he's not a friend of mine. No.
He is just intense.
So how did this happen? He says he's not a friend of yours. He says very specifically that'll be controversial, but it's true.
Right.
And yet he's gonna come on the show.
Sure. Because that's what you do.
When? Why?
Why not?
All right.
I mean, his QB, the whole reason for this, to go back to that, if people don't know, you know, that happened when in November after I called a Washington UCLA game, and he was very defensive of his quarterback and has been for a number of years and is still. And his quarterback will be one of the main storylines in 2 days. Baker Mayfield and Josh Rosen.
Yeah.
I think going into this draft, as we get closer and closer to it, will be two of the major, major storylines. I think Sam Darnold's going to go number one. Josh Allen, we'll see. But those two guys are fairly polarizing. Baker because of his play and his theatrics and everything else. And Josh because he's immensely talented. But people are all over the board on him. Mm. And, Jim was really defending his guy. So, I don't know.
It's a good thing you didn't talk any smack about his kicker. Jim would have jumped right on board with you and tossed him under the bus.
Could have. Yeah, we'll see. How are you guys? You're kind of most nervous.
I don't like him. I don't like the guy.
Yes, but you just don't know how you're going to handle it.
We're having somebody on the show that I don't like.
You could have said that to me.
I want to have him on, but
okay.
I don't.
All
but
right.
I'll be clear. I don't care for him.
Okay.
I think he's nuts. That's how I feel.
Sure.
I don't like what he said to you.
Yeah.
I don't like what he said about my partner.
And I didn't care for what he obviously had to say about me either. And, you know, we'll bury the hatchet a little bit. Maybe. We'll see. I think so. I think he's just an unbelievably intense guy. I've been around, you know, a lot of coaches like that just are off and, you know, will just say it and say what they believe and don't dance. And at that moment, Yeah, he was. I was no friend of his because I was getting after his quarterback in his estimation, and you know
he didn't even listen to it.
Huh?
He didn't even listen to it.
Yeah.
He has no idea what you said. Like everything about it bothers me.
He's a blind trust kind of guy.
Do you want to
get blind trust in his people?
I feel like you want to cancel. Do you
want
to cancel?
No, I want the guy on.
For you, I'll cancel.
But it's hard for me to talk. Like
no, he's not a friend of mine.
But maybe it's for Brock, and maybe it's about Brock. I think that's really big of you to say that. Yeah, this was maybe just a moment, and maybe we can bury the hatchet.
Lydia, this
put very little stock in what Brock Hewitt has to say.
Lydia, this is one of the beautiful things about Mike. For those of us that know him at the level that we do, it's been nearly a decade that I know Mike. One of your strongest tenets is your loyalty. It really is. Oh, he is. If you are his guy, like if you're on Salk's team, man, he is loyal.
Mother Bear.
Yes.
I might show up at the Rock Bottom tonight just to boo Salk.
It's like a lioness.
Yeah, this is one of those situations where I could absolutely agree with that, where you probably wouldn't be as pissed as your friend would.
Yes.
Because that's
exactly
right. Don't you go after my friend
that's
or my
exactly
family
right
like that.
Yes. So I am, yeah, Lydia, you nail it once again. The mother nails it.
I'm a lioness.
Yeah, you're like one of those squawking hens that's protecting the hen house.
All I can think
somebody's trying to come in, the rooster's prowling out there, and the hen is sitting at the front door going, ha, ha, ha.
To be fair, Howdy, I don't like you all that much either. Like, Jamora is slightly higher than you are on my list. A lion. All I can think of when you say a lioness is that Role Models movie where the woman's defending her son. She's like, I am a lioness. I am a black Sheba. That's me. I'm a lioness, Howdy, yes, and I'm coming after you. All right, well, Jim Mora will be on the show at 7:30. We'll see how it goes. I make no promises.
Maybe we'll get a roar out.
Maybe we will.
I make absolutely no promises about how this goes at 7:30. I'm serious.
Yep.
I make no promises. You are getting him on the show over some of my immediate objection. So...
Well, you could have told me that. You could have.
You knew how I felt.
You could have made abundantly clear.
I made it very clear.
No, let's be very clear.
I made it very clear.
You did not think he was going to come on the show.
Of course not.
No, you didn't.
To my comment,
the guy's nuts. Who can possibly predict what he's going to do from day to day?
But he is talking draft.
And the funny thing is, I agree with a lot of the things he said about the quarterbacks in the draft.
Oh, I actually, you're talking about quarterbacks in general.
No, I could actually make some sense out of what he's been arguing.
Yeah.
His point, I think, makes some sense, which is Baker Mayfield, or like the one, just because one quarterback's better than another quarterback in a vacuum doesn't mean he's a better fit in that place.
Yep.
And what he's tried to argue, I think, fairly unsuccessfully, is that, you know, look, Josh Rosen belongs in New York and Sam Darnold belongs in Cleveland.
Yep.
And there's a fit with those guys and the teams and the cities and how they're going to react to that atmosphere and environment.
Yes.
That has nothing to do with who's ultimately the better quarterback. It has to do with fit.
Yeah, and there's fits for radio shows. There's fits for where kids go to college. There's fits for where guys are professionally. There's fit. That's, I mean, that is the essence of John and Pete. We didn't even get to all of that. But to me, that's the essence of what they had to say yesterday in so many ways, is we've got to find the right fit.
Yeah, they're looking for fit.
Changes are inevitable, you know, and sometimes, you know, you guys can't hang with what, you know, what's expected for one reason or another, their growth, their development and all that. And the best thing I can tell you is they're not here.
That's Pete talking about Michael Bennett and Richard Sherman, basically.
That is.
Well, they don't fit anymore. What can I tell you?
We're strong.
They're not here.
They can't hang. Yeah.
But you know who else doesn't fit? Malik McDowell doesn't fit. You know who else doesn't fit? A bunch of these guys whose engines don't rev the way they should or they want to, or the way they did in 2009 and 10 and 11 with guys that they looked at. But I think there was a feeling, you know, cutting through a lot of what they had to say yesterday, and we'll do this kind of rapid fire fashion at 8 o'clock. You know, I think there was a feeling that their culture, that everything that they built there would bring out the best. It would cover some flaws. You know, it would grow some guys up like Frank Clark. It would take some risk guys and they would fit in this family dynamic. And instead, you know, Grandpa, in this little analogy, being Michael Bennett and Grandpa being Sherman and Grandpa being some of those guys, kind of went on and did their own things. And didn't grow some of these guys up with it, and in so doing, the Malik McDowell's happened.
Text messages. I was going to text in about something else, but then you dropped this Jim Mora news, and I full-on spit out my coffee.
Yeah,
all right. Well, see, that's what we're going to have. Let's see. Put your shock jock radio hat on, Salk, and you drop the hammer on that guy. All right, we'll see. Cancel Jim Mora. When you have him on, all you do is validate a failed coach whose only on-field experience was at Idaho. He's a non-entity.
Whoa.
I mean, that's not fair. That's wrong.
He's
an entity. Plus, his dad's Jim Mora. Let's be
clear. He's had tons of success.
Yeah. If he's listening, he's going to cancel. Brock is non-confrontational. He'd probably like his guest not to appear and bury the hatchet. Whoa, Lydia just cursed on the radio? Is she going to put a dollar in the swear jar? I'm uncomfortable with all of this. Moore is going to quote-unquote flake if he's listening. We should call Cowherd and see if we can get some, or Doug Gottlieb, and see if we can get some advice on how to deal with this. 7:10, time for Need to Know.
Need to Know, the voice of Seattle sports.
Brought to you by VenueKings.com.
Here's what you need to know up first.
Well, it was not a great game for the Mariners, and specifically Mike Leake, who just didn't give his team a chance to win. Gave up 7 straight hits to start the night. That's not going to be enough. 5 runs in the first inning. Mariners, unsurprisingly, were unable to climb out of that hole. Do lose 10-4 in the series opening game in Chicago. Look, bad starts like that are going to happen. And Mike Leake, as Scott Servais said, this was the first one he's had after 10 really good ones to start his Mariners career. The shame of it, though, is to have it happen against a really bad team like Chicago. That's an opportunity to just gain some ground, come up with a win, maybe even sweep a series. For whatever reason, though, it just feels like that team has been a problem for them year after year. And I know the numbers may not bear it out, but there are so many times right around this time, right around the draft. Yep. I remember 2010 specifically. They ended the season like a month in.
I think Konerko hit 19 home runs.
Oh, my God. It was terrible. Yes. And yesterday, it was, Yoan Moncada, who was just awesome. Anyway, Mariners lose. They'll get back to it tonight.
Yeah, one of the real challenges here, some 20 games into the season, is you're starting pitching. I mean, we knew that that would be problematic. You can point to a lot of different areas, but that area's got to shore itself up. And I think that's a disappointment, especially against the Chicago White Sox lineup that scored two runs in 3 days against the Houston Astros, is you got to get some quality starts, man. These guys up front, the Mike Leakes, the Felix Hernandezes, the James Paxtons, the Marco Gonzalez, who's going to go today. If you keep going five and a third, 5 2/3, you're going to wear your entire team out. That starting pitching's got to turn around, and it's got to start with Marco this afternoon.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Well, Pete Carroll and John Schneider had a lot to say yesterday in their press conference, but specifically that the Seahawks have, quote, cleaned up their draft board this year. They want to look at fewer prospects and specifically eliminate players with red flags. What does that character mean? Is it on-field character? Is it off-field character? I think it's difficult to determine exactly where they're going with it. I'll play you the sound that Danny O'Neill had yesterday because I thought it was really smart. Danny essentially said they're looking for the next generation of players that can exhibit the same big personalities of the last group, but do it at 22 years old instead of at 29, 31. And I think he's absolutely right. Yeah, Michael Bennett's act had gotten stale. Richard Sherman's act had gotten tired. It's time to move on from some of those guys once they've gotten too big to listen to Pete's stories too many times. But that doesn't mean you're not looking for the same types of personalities. You just want to have them be younger and fresher. And so I really hope they're able to go out, identify those guys who truly love ball, and bring them in here to be the Seahawks again.
Well, that's exactly what it is. Those are two words I wrote down, love ball. Because that's what this thing was built on. And I think here's what you need to know. It really doesn't matter what the sport is or, frankly, the profession and some of you listening and doing what you're doing. When you hit a little rough spot, what do you typically do? You do what you go back to doing what you had success. And you had success and you built this thing on a very simple concept. That was you were going to compete relentlessly and you were going to find guys that love playing football. Man, I just remember those words from Pete Carroll in his opening press conference. Trust me on this, he said. We will find guys that love ball, and that will be of the highest priority about 48 hours from now.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Yeah, I didn't think it was going to happen, but apparently it is. Former Seahawks head coach, former UCLA head coach, Jim Mora will join the show in 15 minutes. He has a long and sordid past with this show, from attempting to boo me in public to asserting that Brock is not his friend and nobody should listen to anything he has to say. Jim's been very outspoken about the quarterbacks in this year's draft. We'll have him on to talk about those things, but I just can't get through the whole thing without discussing the history.
Yeah, Jim Mora will be working the NFL draft, heading down there tomorrow, so was gracious enough to take some time and join us here, Mike, in 15 minutes. And his quarterback at UCLA is right in the middle of so many of these conversations. Is right in the middle of the crosshairs of why he went after me and took some personal shots at me. Mm. Maybe we'll get to some of that and we can have that conversation. And I know as he watches the draft on Thursday with Josh Rosen, who I think could go anywhere from 3 to, who knows, somewhere in the 20s where Aaron Rodgers went. He will be a fascinating story come draft night. I think it will lead to some fascinating conversations here in about 15 minutes.
That's coming up. Jim Mora joins our show in 15 minutes. I just saw this. This date in 1988, this is from Tim Kirkchen on Twitter. This date in 1988, the Orioles fall to 0-18 to start the year.
That.
That's when Bob Rivers was up in the tree, right? Because he was working in Baltimore at the time, and he went up on the billboard or whatever he did.
Wow.
Anyway, next day, manager Frank Robinson confirms he received a call of support from President Ronald Reagan. Frank, he said, I know what you're going through. Frank respectfully responds, Mr. President, you have no idea what I'm going through. 7:15, let's talk to the professor.
John Clayton's Morning Drive with Brock and Saul.
If you want to take care of him, take care of him now. And the price is only going to go up.
Brought to you by Divorce Lawyers from N.com.
He's too important to let go. You're not trying to
totally break everything down.
Plus, a wild card.
What magic trick would you like to be able to perform?
I can maybe try to have you disappear. That could be nice.
It's John Clayton's Morning Drive with Brock and Salk.
Good morning, John.
Good morning.
You hear what we have going on this morning?
You got Jim Mora calling?
Apparently.
Wow.
Brock says so. I mean,
how did that transpire?
I just reached out, John. You know, he's an emotional guy. He's an emotional guy. You know that.
I know.
You've covered him, so... You know, and he's going to be working the draft. And his QB, Josh Rosen, I think, is one of the more fascinating storylines of many come Thursday night. So,
yeah, how do you see?
The only suggestion would be don't ask him any Josh Rosen stories, questions, because, again, all he's going to do is dig a hole deeper for all the stuff that he said.
We would never want that, obviously. I mean, we're here to protect his interests, just like he's been so great to us over the years. How do you see the quarterbacks all shaken out? Who's going to be not just who's going to get drafted where?
Yeah.
Who's going to be the best quarterback to come out of this draft?
I think it's going to be Sam Darnold. I was listening to him on radio yesterday, and one of the things that you kind of forget is the fact I like those guys that used to be linebackers playing quarterback. I mean, it kind of goes back to those Jim Kelly days when you're versatile because you're a football player who happens to be big enough to be a quarterback and have a good enough arm. I just think he's 20 years old. I think that he moves around real well. He seems to have a good grasp of everything. I just think he's going to be the best of the group.
I would tend to agree.
How much does fit matter? I mean, he may have the most talent, or how much does where they go matter to what they will end up doing in the league?
Well, let's put it this way. If you're going to be a former linebacker, probably it's a good fit to go to Cleveland because you're going to get pounded for the most part. I know their offensive line isn't that bad. They did lose Joe Thomas. But, I mean, you're going to a team that's 1-31. You better have a mentality that's going to take some time because it's going to be tough because the team is so bad. But that's why I think that's why I think it's a good fit. I mean, it is Cleveland. I mean, the weather gets cold by, in November. I think he's going to have a strong enough arm to be able to do things. I think he's a good fit there. I think he's a good fit with Hugh Jackson.
Your biggest takeaway from John and Pete's presser yesterday?
Oh, I think the biggest thing is that you can see they're continuing to do a lot of evaluation on how they draft and what they do in the draft and all that. And so I think that the less is more theory is kind of interesting, trying to at least get it down to a little basics, not as have as many guys on the board as they've had the last couple years. But that was kind of interesting. I think that was the biggest takeaway, that you can see there's been a lot of kind of self-scouting on how they've done things with the hope that things are going to be better.
Yeah, they talked about looking for character and all of that. When they say character, I heard Danny, Dave, and Jim talking about this yesterday. How do you interpret that? Is character about how much what you do on the field and sort of the mistakes you might make and your motor and all of that? Or is it about knucklehead stuff off the field?
No, I think, obviously you judge the knucklehead stuff off the field, but I think what you're looking at from John Snyder's perspective is, what kind of character are you as a player? I mean, where do you kind of put yourself? Because you go back to the days, with Richard Sherman and Cam Chancellor, and one of the things that they like is that they had the supreme confidence. They didn't just envision themselves being good players; they envisioned themselves being great players. And I think that's part of the character that they look at. And I think they wanted to kind of go back to that, kind of seeing, okay, where are you? Who do you think you are, and what can you do? And that I think is part of the character issue. Obviously, the off the field stuff is something that you have to judge and all that stuff. But I think they're wanting to go back a little bit more to that judgment of guys that have that extra chip on their shoulder, that even though maybe they're a lower draft choice, they believe in what they can do.
John Snyder said yesterday that Cam Chancellor will undergo more scans in June. A, why in June, John? And then B, what could change between now and then that could change his future?
Oh, nothing is going to change, but I think what it just tells you that he's going to be on the roster, but more likely on the physically unable to perform list, because now you're thinking, okay, here's June, so what's going to happen in June? Is there going to be a positive test that says that, okay, you can come back? Maybe, maybe not. But I think what you're looking at is that the fact that his salary is guaranteed is $6.8 million. I mean, he's not going anywhere, and so there's no rush. I mean, the key is not. It would be nice if he is able to come back, because he's such a great player and he can mean a lot to this team, but I don't think think that you can see with the moves that they made last year and all the other things, they're probably not counting on them. But I think the fact that they point out it's going to be in June just tells you, you know, there's no rush to try to see where he is health-wise. They just want to make sure he is healthy.
Hey, what's going on with Julio Jones?
I don't know. That's a weird one because, I mean, he's now starting, because now he's taken everything off his Falcons part of the instant messages and all those different things.
Wow.
And so I don't know. And he's not there. I don't think it's a big contract thing because, again, I mean, the guy is such a great player, but maybe there's a contract issue going. Maybe he's waiting for Matt Ryan to get his deal done. But that one was a weird one. Just popped out of the blue.
All right. Wild card time.
Time now for the wild card.
Wild card.
Mr. Professor Clayton?
Yes.
If you were forced to interview your greatest nemesis live on air, what would be the first question you would have to ask them?
Well, it was like, why have you been so bad at what you've done? I think that's probably the first one, because then you want to get that irritating question up front. And it's like, okay, so why has things gone of such a awry for you if he's going to be such a rival? Because I don't have too many rivals. I'm pretty positive on most of the things and all that stuff. But I think if it's going to be a rival and I get the first question, I want it to take it right to the gut and go bang him.
Who would that be for you?
I don't know. I can't really think of one right now.
I mean, you used to have to go toe-to-toe every day with Salisbury, but you guys were friendly.
Oh, we're very friendly, yeah. No, in fact, we'll do it today.
I know.
Yeah, so no, it's like...
You guys fought a couple times, right? Didn't he swing at you a couple times?
Well, I mean, we took verbal swings, but I swung at him. He swung at me. That was the idea of the whole concept.
Yeah.
But again, we trusted each other enough that it's like it was never going to get too far and never get too far out of hand.
All right. John, thank you. We'll hear from you again at 10 o'clock, of course, as always. John Clayton with us every single day at 7:50. All right, this is going to be fun. It's going to be happening here in just a couple of minutes. Brock, are you prepared for this?
I am just fine.
I'm not.
Yeah, just relax. R-E-L-A-X, okay?
I need to get myself in the mood
just
for this.
Relax.
I need to get myself in the mood. Jim Moore is going to be joining us.
UCLA has fired their football coach, Jim Moore.
Don't come around here no more.
You got to be a little bit of a dirtbag. Not as a person.
Don't come around here no more.
In the pit where all that stuff goes down, you don't have some freaking toughness.
Whatever you're looking for.
You're going to fail. You're gonna fail.
I would put very little stock in what Brock Hewitt has to say about anything that has to do with football. I've known that kid since he was in college. No, he's not a friend of mine.
I might show up at the Rock Bottom tonight just to boo song.
You're gonna fail. fail.
All right, stick around a few more minutes. Jim Mora will join our show. It's been a long, long time. We'll see where this goes. It's coming up next on Brock and Salk.
Distilling Company's BSB Lounge at the ballpark.
When you purchase our award-winning spirits, remember to choke up on it for better control. Then send it down like a trip back to the minors.
You can't spell baseball without BSB.
Heritage Distilling Company, proud sponsor of your Seattle Mariners.
Morning, guys. It's Brock and Salk. He's Brock. I'm Mike. Kyle, howdy. Lydia, all sitting in the other room. Lydia's stressed. Her shoulders are hunched up to her ears.
Never seen her so stressed.
No, she's actually... That's the exact move Cecily makes when she doesn't want to talk to somebody.
Yes.
She, like, pulls her ears, her shoulders up to her ears.
Yes.
And I have to talk to her about how her shoulders don't touch our ears. Yep. They're not friends.
Howdy is fine. He loves this.
Howdy thinks this is great.
Yeah, Howdy's just like I am.
And Kyle's in the middle of actually calling Jim Mora.
Kyle is sweating right now.
Clammy hands. It's disgusting what's going on back there.
Wow. Everything all right back there, Howdy? You good? You going to hold down the fort? Good.
It's just going to be 1 minute or so. We're connecting.
Okay. All right.
And you, Saul?
Me? I feel great.
Good.
I'm very excited for this.
Have you ever done this before? You've buried the hatchet before, right?
I have, but who said that's what we're doing?
Huh? Yeah.
Is that what we're doing? Sure. He hang up on you, Kyle? What happened?
Coach has got to get downstairs.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, a little bit.
And remember, he's on crutches.
Oh, that could be.
So
no.
He needed to put the phone in his pocket for a second, get downstairs.
Remind me, why is Jim Mora on crutches?
Was it public? No, I think he was in a...
Remember we were talking to a coach at spring training and
we thought Jimmy Graham
Jimmy
had
broke
been
his
leg?
Oh, yeah. We were like,
Jimmy broke his leg?
I thought it was Jimmy Graham.
Yeah, I don't think it matters. He was just in a recreational accident.
Okay. So we finish up and we're like, Jim,
We thought we had giant breaking news.
Jimmy Graham broke his leg? How is this not out there? Like, who's going to tweet this? Who's going to break this story?
Oh, right. It was Jim Mora. We just got wrong Jimmy.
Wrong Jimmy.
Yeah. So. All right. Well, let's see. In the meantime, as we get prepared for this, I'm sorry.
You're just a mess.
I'm not a mess.
Yes,
I just
kind of a mess.
No, I've got some good questions for him.
Yes,
I really do. I've got some good questions for him
because it really is about fit. It really is about fit. I think there are some that would say
in the pit.
Yeah. I mean, that's what this conversation is all about. It's what the conversation today ultimately is going to be about when it comes to the Seahawks, and it's ultimately what it's about with this quarterback. You know, and Mike, there are many in the league. If you surveyed the 32 GMs and said the best pro-ready pocket passer right now, who is the best in this draft class, pro prospect, pro-style passer in this draft, it's Josh Rosen. Josh Rosen, I've watched him a number of times, watched him warm up, beautiful. Beautiful mechanics, beautiful delivery, former tennis player, tremendous, you know, athlete, five-star prospect, big chance. So there's a lot of it. You know, there's a lot of folks that feel that way.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, fit-wise for others.
I think all these guys kind of stink.
You like Baker.
Nah, I don't think he's going to be that good, though. Like, I like him because I'm entertained by him, and I like his attitude, and I hope that it kind of works out for him.
So if the Seahawks were drafted in the top five of this draft and needed a quarterback, you wouldn't want any of these guys?
Nope.
Really?
Nope. Huh. I don't think any of these guys are a franchise quarterback that I want to, like, tie my horse to.
Okay.
Tie my wagon to. Whatever I'm supposed to tie something to, I don't really want to do it with these guys. I think Darnold's good. I think he'll be a good quarterback.
Yeah.
But he has so many fumbles and interceptions and turnovers. I just don't think that flies in the NFL.
Okay.
I think Josh Rosen's kind of a I don't think he's got the mental fortitude to be an NFL, you know, franchise quarterback.
Okay.
I think Josh Allen, I don't trust that guy. Okay. I just, what was his completion percentage? Like 35%.
Okay.
Not accurate enough for me. I know he's got a big arm, but that sounds like Kyle Bowler all over again.
Baker and Lamar?
I mean, obviously they're intriguing because of their athleticism and they can both kind of move around. And I like how much Baker's won and Lamar's kind of an intriguing guy, but I don't see either as like a top 10 pick.
Yeah.
I think if you could get one of those guys late in the first round or even in the second round, I'd really enjoy seeing what they could do.
Yes.
But I'm not spending a top 10 pick on either
that's,
one of them.
That unfortunately is just where we are.
I know,
today.
But
Dalton was a second round pick. Colin Kaepernick was a second round pick. Russell Wilson was a third round pick.
Yeah, and I'll
pick.
Kind of put them in the Andy Dalton range,
so
which
these
means
guys
they're
were,
good,
yeah,
not
late.
Great.
First or early second rounders, you would not feel as strong.
Let's do it. Jim Mora joins us right now here, Brock. Takes a few minutes on the Venue Kings hotline. Good morning, Coach. How are you?
I am great. How are you guys?
We're doing good, man. We're doing good and just excited to talk on a number of different levels, Jim. And obviously, you know, I think we start here. You and I had some fun this year, had some fireworks. And I think, you know, I don't know from your perspective, from my perspective, it's centered around the quarterback. Right. And Josh Rosen and, you know, where everything is going to probably center around to some degree on Thursday. So if we if we start there and I guess maybe start with you and I, you know, and just kind of clear the air a little bit.
You and I go way, way back, as do your brother and I. And we're both dogs. We're both Huskies. And we're both a little bit feisty and opinionated. And when you did our Husky game and I felt like you were questioning Josh, you know me, Brock, I'm protective. And it's like that big brother, little brother thing. It's like, you know, you can say whatever you want about your brother and you can tease him and make fun of him, but if somebody else does, then you bow up. And that's how I get. But I've always had great respect for you, and I think you do an amazing – well, first of all, you had a great career, and you're a great Husky, which I appreciate and love, and you've had a tremendous – I mean, you've done an amazing job, I think, of transitioning, which is really, really difficult for a lot of people, into another career in which you've had an equal amount of success. So, you know, I don't think people ever really understand how competitive maybe guys like you and I are, and because they've never really been in the arena that we've been in. And so sometimes we flare up a little bit, but it's always – you know, there's always that respect factor. So I know I respect you,
Jim. I just had one question on it. Had you actually heard Brock's comments before you commented on them?
Yeah, I get like cut ups of stuff from our sport. Well, I don't work there anymore, but from our former sports information people. So you know, you just you protect your players. That's one of, you know, I think if you ask my friends up in Seattle, Hugh Millen and Mark Batterson and Brett Lochnan and Dave Kaler and Wayne Hagen, all those guys, they tell you that one of my one of the qualities they like best about me is that I'm incredibly loyal and incredibly protective. But that's one of the things that gets me in trouble as well, because like I said, I'll protect people that I love and care about, and I love and care about the men that I coach. So, but it's going to be a fun week. This is a lot going on, a lot swirling. You know, the latest rumors that that the Cleveland Browns are interested in, you know, Baker Mayfield, and everything's a smokescreen with Josh Allen and Sam Darnold, just puts everything into, you know, a new spin cycle. So it's pretty fun.
Where ultimately you think Josh is going to end up? You have a sense or a
feel
through all your conversations?
God. Brock, I thought forever that he's going to end up with the New York Jets. And I'm still hopeful that he does, you know. If the Cleveland Browns don't follow what everyone has kind of assumed was going to be the script and take Sam Darnold, then that could just change everything depending upon how the Jets feel about Sam. Or if the Browns take Josh Allen and Sam Darnold sitting there, I think it's hard to believe that the New York Giants would pass on Sam Darnold. I've heard that they really love him. And then, you know, it comes down to the Jets, and do they want Josh Rosen or Baker Mayfield, you know? So it's all personal choices. You know, at the draft, you know, people fall in love with a particular player, and very, very rarely, as a matter of fact, almost never do teams have two players rated equal, especially when it comes to quarterback. They're going to go into Thursday knowing exactly who they want for whatever reason, you know, and they're going to judge someone dependent upon, on, you know, what they decide are the variables they're looking for. From my opinion, and having known him for a long time and having watched him and watched him mature and watched him grow up, Josh Rosen is not only the best player in the draft, but the one with the most potential. You know, he hasn't even really scratched the surface of how great he's going to be. And, you know, you, Brock, you saw kind of a tough game, the Washington game. You know, we struggled and he got hurt. He, you know, he took the hit there and wasn't able to play in the second half. But I'll tell you something, you know, these people that are questioning his toughness or his competitiveness or really his love of football, I think they're way off base. And then, you know, the question that I've gotten from a lot of the executives, which is a common question, is does he love football? And yes, he loves football. Is he coachable? He's not the kind of guy, and you're a quarterback, you know, if they say, okay, you know, put the, you know, throw the slant. He goes, okay, do you want me to throw first window, second window, front pad, back pad? You know, do you want it on his left number, his right number? I mean, he really likes to dive deep and find out exactly how the play is supposed to be run, exactly where the ball is supposed to be put. And if you let him off the hook a little bit and don't coach him hard, you know, he wants to be coached hard because he wants to be great. So that's what I know about this young man. You know, I've watched him grow up. I've watched him mature. I've, you know, some of the comments and the things he did when he was younger, when he was 18 and 19 years old, that people have fixated on. I think people need to remember that he was a college student. It's a time to learn. It's a time to grow. It's a time to mature, and that's what he's done.
You know, it seems like what you've been talking about, not just today, but as you've sort of gone on the tour talking about Rosen and the rest of these quarterbacks, is fit. And I, if I understand you properly, it's why, you know, if some of your comments don't seem to quite jive with each other, is because what you're saying is, guy, you know, one player may be better than another in a vacuum, but ultimately they have to be the right fit for the team that's selecting them. Do I have that right?
Well, first of all, my comments are consistent. I've been completely clear, completely consistent, and I've never said anything but complimentary things about Josh. There's not Not one negative thing has ever come out of my mouth. As a matter of fact, I challenge anyone to go back and find anything negative that I've said about Josh. Saying that Sam Darnold or Josh Allen or Baker Mayfield or Lamar Jackson may be a better fit for a particular team is in no way reflective of the fact that I think Josh is the best quarterback. It's just that's the NFL. That's why teams pick particular players, because they fit a system. They fit a style. They fit a coaching staff. They fit a scheme. Their personality fits. I mean, it's why sitting at number two or sitting at number one, the Cleveland Browns, you know, everyone assumes they're going to take Sam Darnold, but if they take Josh Allen or Baker Mayfield, it's because they believe that player is a better fit for what they're trying to do. That is a fact. So there's no negativity in saying that. So my comments have been completely clear, completely consistent. And I, like I said, I would challenge anybody to go back 5 years and find me saying one negative thing about Josh. I don't have anything negative to say about him. I love him. But you're right. It's all about fit, and it's all about best player available, fitting a need. It's when you're in a draft room, it's awesome, man. I mean, the things that go into it, it's not just an off the hip decision. It's months and months and hours of discussion and repetition of mock drafts and evaluations and, you know, medical checks and psychological checks. And, you know, there's a whole lot that goes into picking a player.
All right, last thing for you, Jim, and then we'll let you go. You know, as this draft comes up and everybody's trying to figure out which quarterback is going to fit where, if you were selecting in one of these cities and had this pick, and you knew that you were going to be in the pit where it all goes down, which of these five or six quarterbacks that could be picked somewhere in the first round do you think has the most freaking toughness that you need in there?
Josh is tough. I mean, watch Josh stand in the pocket and take hits. And you know, people have questioned his durability. And I've heard scouts say, you know, I wish he could get out of there. I wish he'd get out of the pocket a little earlier. He takes some hits in the pocket. It's because he's so damn tough. I mean, it was great. He would come to the sideline if he felt, and this didn't happen very often, believe me, because he wouldn't be, you know, where he is if it had happened often. But there was a couple times that I can remember in his career where he'd come to the sideline and he'd go, gosh dang it, I took a little bit off of that ball because I felt that I was just about to get hammered. And it would anger him because he was so damn tough. You know, he felt like he should be able to stand in there and get hit by a sledgehammer and still deliver the ball right on time on target, which was, you know, it's just not going to happen. But he always knew if he took a little bit off it because he was going to protect his body, and he didn't do it very often. I mean, that's a tough sucker, man. He's a competitive, tough, hard-nosed guy. I mean, I've talked to a few scouts about three things. There's a throw against Stanford his freshman year that to me just shows you how talented he is. There's a run against Washington State his sophomore year that shows you, you know, how he is at the end of the game. And there's the second half of the A&M game this year that shows you how competitive he is. He's just, he's matured. You know, there could have been questions about him early, but there shouldn't be late.
Wow. Well, Jim, thank you very much for taking the time. We talk about maturity, and maybe that's a good way to end this interview. Thank you. Thank you for spending a few minutes with us, and hopefully we can do it again.
My pleasure. You guys have a great day. Thanks for having me.
Right, thanks, Jim.
There's Jim Mora. Ex of the Seahawks and the Falcons and UCLA as well. What do you think?
I think you are a beauty.
What are you talking about, me?
I think we got Blue 42 next.
Thank God. Coming up on Brock and Salk in the pit.
Hey, Brock Hewitt here for Toyota Piala. You know, when you're shopping for a new vehicle, you want the best value and to be treated fairly. You want confidence that the dealership will be there long after the sale. Well, Toyota Piala is Washington's most awarded Toyota dealer for customer satisfaction, and they've been doing it for almost 50 years. Toyota Puyallup has more than 700 new Toyotas for you to choose from and one of the largest selections of Toyota trucks in the Northwest. Plus, they all come with 2 years of complimentary maintenance. So go see Carrie and her team at Toyota Puyallup, putting you first since 1970.
Hey, this is Bob Stelton from the Bob Gross and Tom Show. I want to thank you for listening to the Brock and Salk Show. And you know what would be fantastic is if you checked out the Bob Gross and Tom Show every day from noon to 3. You can stream us live at 710sports.com or on the 710 Sports app or listen on demand.
42.
Now here's your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Salk.
Boo 42! Boo 42!
A lot of text messages today, all over the map.
Yeah.
Salk, how does it feel to be more immature than Jim Mora? Whoa. Others saying Mora spent years trying to imitate Don James. Somehow he's Buddy Ryan's runt child. Huge fan of you guys, but Mike, I thought you were very petty with your last jab at Jim. That's unnecessary. Disappointed. Those are all softball questions. Salk is a legend for that interview. There's a lot in there. I didn't know any better. It sounds like Salk doesn't like Jim Mora. I don't like Jim Mora.
He really appreciated that last question. He answered it right off the bat, immediately.
In the pit? I mean, where it all goes down, Howdy. You know how it is. All right, question number one, Brock. We just heard a lot about Josh Rosen. Where do you think he ends up?
I think he ends up sliding in this draft. I think that's been some of the, and I got to be careful because that is where some of the narrative is. And this time of year, the narrative is usually wrong. So the Jets could take him at number three and love kind of the polarizing nature and the back and the forth and everything else. But just my hunch is, and where my concern would be, is just some of the injury history. You know, he is a tough guy. He did play as a true freshman. And then, you know what, he missed time with a shoulder. And then he missed time with two concussions. At least that's what, you know, has been said happened in the UW game, though it was never disclosed during the game. So I think you will see him ultimately slide. He's too talented. He'll be in the first round. But I think he will be talked about. And I think he will be one of the major storylines along with Baker Mayfield. But if I have to bet, I'm going to say somewhere in the late teens to the early 20s in the first round.
All right, question number two. You know, as Schneider was going through all of the things that they look at and all the different places they're trying to judge players, he mentioned orthopedic testing and grading. What is that?
He did. Can we fire that sound real quick? You know, he did talk about just the whole bevy, and actually, Mora did as well. All of the work that goes into this. Here's John Schneider yesterday.
You know, his character, psychological testing, orthopedic testing, orthopedic grades, you know, true fits. And, you know, sometimes you can make excuses in all those different areas because of a guy's specific skill set.
Yeah, I think that is specific as I understand it. And I may be wrong on this, but as I understand a lot of that orthopedic, it really is looking at those joints and just looking at one structure to just kind of see, you know. And there was a prospect years and years ago when we were doing the build-up to the drafts, and I'd have been wrong on him. I'll give you some of the guys I love, but I was wrong on him. He's a big Baylor D tackle. Right now, it's like, dude, this guy is a monster.
Andrew something?
Powerlifting champ. Yeah, I think it was Andrews.
Andrew Bailey?
Wow, look at you.
Is that his name?
And I don't think so, but that's close.
It's close to that.
But he was a monster. And I remember talking to folks afterwards. They're like, yeah, bow-legged, going to be injury prone. Sure enough, bang, first year, hurts his knee in Cincinnati. And so just, you know, the structure of that. It's not just like how lean he is, how ripped he is or anything. It's like the structure of the joints. I mean, how sound is this guy? How consistent is it? You know, for me, I'd have been a huge red flag for them. I probably would have failed their physical, to be honest, because early on there's dysfunction in my low back. My left calf is smaller than my right calf. There's imbalance, and a lot of that's going to lead to one being injury prone, which is exactly where I was. So the orthopedic level of really the amount of analysis and study, you can be paralyzed. There can, I'm sure, be paralysis by overanalysis, but it is in so much more depth, even when I was drafted 15 to 20 years ago.
I got to figure out who that guy was. I remember him. I remember talking about him quite a bit. All right, question number... It was definitely Andrew. Question number three. What do you make of the news coming out yesterday that Camp Chancellor will at least undergo more scans in June before making a decision?
Yeah, I guess that's a positive. I'm with John Clayton. I don't think it's going to change matters. I think when you've got, you know, a challenging situation with a spinal cord, whether that is stenosis, whether that is a shrinking of it, or, you know, an impingement of any sort, and you start to mess around with the spinal cord, I'll raise my hand. I know what some of that looks like. I know what those MRIs look like. I know that that typically wear and tear does not change in that kind of scenario. But I guess a positive that he wants to look at it one more time. John Clayton's absolutely right. He will be here. His $6.5 million is here. So whether it's on the physically unable to perform list or whatever it is, that decision that has been made, that hay is in the barn. But at least, I guess, some positive news that they will revisit that decision of whether or not he will play or retire come late June.
Oh, there you go. That is today's Coors Light's Blue 42.
Narrowing of the spinal cord.
That's the guy's name, man. That's going to drive me nuts.
Well, we'll figure it out.
I'm just looking for bail. What year was that? 2016, maybe? Right around there? When was that? Can anybody remember when that was?
Come on, P1 text toy. This is when they usually step up.
Somebody's got to remember what that guy's name was.
Yeah, it was the year that they were really good. They were national title worthy. Yeah, it was just a couple years ago. So it would have been probably the 2015-2016 draft. Big D tackle out of Baylor.
I can't come up with it. Yeah, I was looking. Andrew Billings.
There you go.
Way to Andrew
go.
Billings.
Way to
I looked
go,
it up.
Sulky.
No, I did not come
you
up with
You had Andrew.
I knew it was Andrew.
You had Andrew.
Andrew Billings
way to
was
go.
His name. Yeah, I remember talking about him. Then he fell forever. A lot of people on the text message, by the way, knew it immediately. Good on all you guys knowing it was Andrew Billings. Thank you. You guys are wonderful. You're perfect, as always.
Keep us accountable.
Hey, NFL draft. Man, it's, 2 days away? Don't miss any of 710's draft coverage. It's all at 710sports.com. But here's what you can do. Text the word draft to 710710. You'll get updates from the draft lounge throughout all 3 days. You'll get a text after every pick, after Seahawks picks anyway, and any move that they decide to make. So text the word draft to 710710, and then you can watch all our hosts on video, 710sports.com, all throughout the draft. All right, we got some potpourri of great things that we heard yesterday from Pete and John, plus the world's greatest guessing game. I can't wait for this next on Brock and Salk.